Welcome, church, to Breaking It Down with Pastor Noel, where we chat with Dr. Noel Schoonmaker, our senior pastor here at Second Baptist Church, about his Sunday sermon, about the scripture text, and what it looks like to follow Jesus today. Noel, how are you?
Doing fine, Tom. Hope you are.
Yep. We both of us had a little time off here in the past 10 days.
Yes.
Family have a good time being away?
We did. Got to spend some good time with my parents, get some rest. Y'all have a good time?
Yeah, we sure did. It was
good.
Yeah, it's nice. We were bumming around up in the mountains, got to take some hikes, and really it was gorgeous. Yeah. And it's a great time of year to be outside. So that's awesome.
Yes.
So church, we're in a new sermon series called Holistic Missions. And the text for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. Which portrays one of Jesus's post-resurrection appearances. But Noel, before we dig into the sermon and the scripture text, let's talk about this new series, which focuses on mission. So specifically, why the title, Holistic Missions?
Sure. Well, the title is an attempt to convey that there is a broad mission that God has sent the church to fulfill. Holistic meaning we don't want to just get fixated on one part of the mission, but rather more ideally to engage the full size and scope and strength of the mission that Christ has given us. So, you know, for example, some churches may emphasize evangelism. Some churches may emphasize social ministry. Some churches I've been in, you can pick up different emphases. What I'm kind of hoping is that there are many aspects to the mission of God. What I'm hoping is this term holistic missions and the different scriptures, the many scriptures that we'll be studying during this series, will give kind of a rounded sense and a pretty full sense that is, if not totally comprehensive, will at least give a good sense of the fullness of the mission that God has called us to pursue.
Awesome. You know, I know in my own seminary studies that I've taken a couple classes on mission and missional churches, and it's challenged me and stretched me and made me realize that my understanding of missions was probably too narrow and too restricted. And that one of the things I thought was very eye-opening for me was that I tended to think of the mission starting with the church, when really the mission starts with God, that God is a missional God. God is a going forth God. God is a going outside himself God and a ascending God, which was, I think, really sort of paradigm shifting for me. And for centuries, biblical scholars and students of the Bible have talked about that in the words missio Dei, the mission of God. What is the mission of God and why is that important?
The mission of God, we could summarize it in various terms. One way would be to say to redeem the world, the recreation of all things, making all things new.
That's big and wide. That's big and wide right there.
Very big and wide, yes. And it includes so many aspects. I think that your point about the mission is God's mission. The church is sent to fulfill God's mission, you know, because God is, we could say, a missional God. And the incarnation is really strong evidence of that. God came in Christ, sent God's son Christ to come and carry out a mission in this world, and Christ in turn sends us in the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out that mission. And so really it's God's mission that the church has, as you put it, Tom.
Yeah, and I think for me, one of the things that caused me to think, and there's a couple quotes that really struck me. One is that the church doesn't have a mission. God's mission has churches. And I was like, that's very well put. It puts the original, the initiating action where it should be on God. And that we as the church, and we're called to be the church, shouldn't think that we're going to go out and start something, that we should, part of our process is discern where is the Holy Spirit working in our people and around in our community, and that we should assume that the Holy Spirit is out in front of us, and our job is sort of to discern the particular place that the Spirit is calling us to join him, so that we're never going according to our own plan and never going according to our own strength, which I think that really sort of resituates your focus when you think about missions, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think that a lot of times we may be, I tried to name this briefly in the sermon, that we may be concerned that I'm not up for this. I mean, I can say that as a pastor, you know, I'm not up for helping carry out the mission of Jesus Christ, you know, in and of my own self, my own ability, strength, and wherewithal, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the ability. That's where the ability comes from, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that really, it's not us working for God, it's God working through us.
And you obviously get into that in some of the in the scripture text that you chose for today, that John text. Why did you select that particular one to start the series with?
Well, so I think Eastertide is a perfect time for a sermon series on missions, because when Jesus got up from the dead, he started sending disciples, you know, every which way. And so I think that makes a lot of sense. But to start with this particular text, the reason is, to me, John 20, 21 is a verse. I mean, it's a good memory verse for our listeners. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. It captures that broader, holistic sense. However Christ was sent, whatever Christ was sent to do, that's what we're sent to do. Whatever Christ's mission was, that's our mission. You know, churches have specific mission statements a lot of time that try to capture their own sense locally of specifically what God is calling that church to emphasize and pursue. And that's good. At the same time, I think it's important theologically and missiologically to start off saying, listen, this is way bigger than something I personally feel called, or a local church or a missionary feels called to do. It starts with what God has done and with what Christ has sent us to do. And so, yeah, so I started because it's that, it gives a sense of that, it can give a sense of the holistic piece. As God sent Christ, so Christ sends us. And there's a lot involved in what God sent Christ to do, so there's a lot involved in what Christ has sent us to do.
You know, you mentioned before about, I'm not up for that, I can't fulfill those missions. Obviously, there's an aspect of that that we are not called to do, that Jesus uniquely was called to do.
Oh, sure. Yes.
To be the sin bearer for the world and to operate forgiveness. But
sure,
that idea of, as the Father sent me, so I send you, that there's so much power in there and there's so much continuity. And then you connect that with some of the statements that Jesus makes and Paul makes about we are the body of Christ. And that make those two things put together make that expression a lot less metaphorical, because, you know, God sent the incarnated Jesus, the human being, to us, and he sends us not just notionally, as, you know, I have skin on through you. That we're an essential part of that, aren't we?
Yes, there's a sense in which the church is the continuation of the incarnation. I mean, there's, agree 100%, Tom, we're not called to be the savior of the world like Christ was, you know, to bear the sin of the world. However, we are called to represent God's love, the gospel, grace, and we are called to be, I would say, you know, instruments of salvation, by which I mean God works through us to bring about salvation rather than the savior himself. We're not saviors. Christ is the unique savior. But at the same time, we are called the body of Christ, as you said. You know, that's a pretty strong image in the New Testament, a very strong image in the New Testament that appears in multiple places, that indicates we are called to be Christ's hands and feet. We are the skin that God has now in the world.
You know, and one, another thing I like about that verse is that in my own spiritual journey, either I wasn't hearing that a lot or I wasn't listening for it a lot, because when I started to begin to notice it, it was, wow. And it's, you know, it's very personal. but it very much catches you up in the overall movement of who God is and what he does. But I found it really, really challenging. And I don't think I'm alone. Why do you think it is the church finds that verse such a challenge to hear it spoken to them, like this means you, and then to actually carry it out?
I think one reason is persons who are familiar with church life, or at least a lot of expressions of church life, you know, are accustomed to the term missionary referring to a career missionary, meaning a person who has a specific call, and actually many times a specific professional call as well, to go somewhere, usually a long way away, usually overseas, to spend a large portion of their life or their entire life sharing the gospel with people who are not used to hearing the gospel. That's a lot of times what I think the word missionary or missions evokes in churchgoers. What I think this verse does is it helps us, at least it has helped me, to see all Christians as a type of missionary. You know, sure, some people are called, and I'm thankful they are, and it's wonderful to go. You were called to China at one point, you know, so I mean, we have people called to, I mean, for a period of time, to various places to do various things, but all Christians are missionaries. It's interesting, Tom, because Jesus's original followers are called the 12 disciples, and they're also called the 12 apostles. The word disciple in the Greek, it's not disciples, mathetes or something like that, means a learner. The word apostle in the Greek is apostolo. It means one who is sent. So even the Greek word in several passages in the Gospels for I send is apostolo, right? So just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. One of those words may be apostolo and one may not be, but they both mean send. But anyway, the point is we're all apostles. We're all disciples. We're all apostles, meaning we're all sent. We're all missionaries. So it's not just that people who are spending their life and career sharing the gospel in places far away from where we live that are missionaries. We are too.
Yeah. It's so helpful. And it's also recognizes that, yeah, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to have a particular unique specialty. That as you mentioned earlier, that's what the Spirit does. He that old saying, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. That he will give us words to say and a love for people and all those things. We just have to follow him.
Yes.
Very encouraging. Now, in your sermon, one of the things you did initially, you gave us a really, I think, a helpful visual picture. You talked about being on a youth mission when you were a youth pastor and circling up to pray, holding hands with the people on your mission team and praying inwardly, you know, that the Spirit would lead the group, that y'all would work cohesively, that you would be united, that you would reflect Christ. And then you flipped around and held hands again and then prayed outwardly. I thought that was such a good image. Why has that scene, do you think, stuck with you, that picture stuck with you so long?
I think because, first of all, it was a very heavy responsibility for me to lead that group on that multifaceted mission trip to Massachusetts, especially at that time in my life. It was overwhelming. So it really sticks out in my mind. But also that particular picture, that was not my idea, by the way. I think that group had been doing that, I don't know for how many years before I got there. I just thought it was a great way for our group to keep in mind, hey, we're here to support and love one another, but our main focus is actually to serve and love the people we're going to serve and love, you know, in Christ's name. And I think that to use that image as an image of the church is a way to say, hey, the church as a whole really does have a missional identity according to Christ. And in my experience as a pastor, a lot of times churches, not all the time, but in my experience, a lot of times churches kind of naturally or just organically do a pretty good job of loving one another and taking care of one another, you know? But it takes more intentionality, again, in my experience, more intentionality to focus on serving and evangelizing the world around us, you know, and lifting up the world around us. So it just, it helps me because it's an image that helps us keep that intentionality in front of us, you know, because I mean, we are not called to neglect one another. Christ says, love one another in John 13, 7 chapters earlier. He's talking about love one another in the church. That is a key commandment. But of course, we're also sent, you know. And so in my experience as a pastor, churches just, and I guess maybe pastors too, I should put myself in this, our tendency is probably more naturally to turn inward rather than outward. And so to have that image is just a way to say, hey, we are here to love one another and worship God together and fellowship. And all that is great and it's important. But our focus, you know, can be turned outward.
And I think that brings up a good, it invites us into a good reflection, because there are scripture passages, and you've mentioned a couple of them already, that call us to come in. Don't forsake gathering together. Come together, learn and grow and heal and equip one another. And then you also have this idea of we're also sent out. So is it a question of priority? Is it a question of order? What is the relationship between coming in, come and see, and go and tell?
Yes. I think, Tom, that it's a both and in equal parts. This is my view, that it's equally important to come to church, be together, love one another, take care of one another, and to go from church to serve, evangelize, to let the oppressed go free, and all the things I talked about this morning in the sermon. They're both vitally important. One of the reasons I say that it's important to flip a typical image of the church on its head is because, as a point of emphasis, in my view, it's easier for us naturally to do the former, come to church, take care of one another, than it is to do the latter, intentionally go from church and serve the world. So as a point of emphasis, my own view is it's important to emphasize the going from, you know, because church is a place to which we come. But what if it were even more so a launching pad into the world around us?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we're supposed to be doing when we're coming together is, you know, to the extent that there are people that need healing, that we're healing each other, that we need, you know, freedom from certain things, lies we've believed, or what, you know, ways that we've misunderstood ourselves in the world and God, and all those things to be true. But with the ultimate aim of that, that, you know, like, you don't go to a hospital to live. You go to a hospital to get made well so you can go out. You don't, if you're on a journey, you don't go to your connecting flight and decide to live in that airport, right? You're going someplace. So there's lots of important work that's done here, but the end of that, the point of that is to be sent, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And the church spends a lot more time as the church scattered than the church gathered. I mean, it's just a fact. At least if we want to talk about in terms of an institution like Second Baptist Church, we spend more time as Christians at our homes or at work or at ball games or going on vacation or whatever than we do in the actual church building, even if we come every Wednesday and Sunday of the year, you know. So it's a point where if we can be as intentional about going, you know, and as conscious of our Christianity in our regular everyday goings as we are in our comings to church, that would be, I mean, God would use that in mighty, mighty ways.
Well, I mean, the gospels, the vast majority of the gospel action is not inside the temple or inside the synagogue, right? It's out in the world.
No, most of it's just out and about. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And one of the other images I really liked in this, in your sermon, and it was also a little bit convicting, was the story you told about doing your music gig with your buddy Aaron, and y'all are at the coffee house, and the monitors, which are the stuff that the speaker that bounces back to the singer so it can, okay, lets me know how I sound. Those things were working great, but no one could hear you because the speakers weren't working, the speakers to the world. And I think your point was that sometimes the church can be like that, that, you know, our proclaiming is most often done to one another. And that's, I hear that. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is that we generally, my thought is a lot of times the preaching responsibility is just kind of given to the pastor or whoever the preachers are on staff, the other preachers on staff. And everyday churchgoers don't often, I mean, sometimes they do, don't often think of themselves as proclaimers of the gospel. And I totally understand that. I referred to 1 Peter 2 briefly, very briefly in my sermon, where it actually says, you know, that's the passage about God has made us priests. And it's really important for a lot of Protestants and especially Baptists, the priesthood of all believers. But there's a purpose clause in there. We're made priests so that we might proclaim the marvelous acts of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so God has made us a priesthood of believers in order that we might proclaim. So the church has the homiletic responsibility or the charge to preach the gospel, not just the pastor or the church staff person of the hour in the church service. You know, so that I think that's part of it. But I also think that everyone, including myself, put me first in this list, is more comfortable talking to Christians about God than talking to non-Christians about God, or talking about God in church than talking about God outside of church. And that to me makes perfect sense. I mean, it's almost a fact of Christian experience in my own, you know, life. I'm not saying it's like that everywhere at all times, but it sure has been for me in my own life, that it's just more natural and more comfortable to talk about God at church than to talk about God not at church, and to talk about God with fellow Christians than to talk about God with people who aren't Christians. So again, I guess it comes down to that level of intentionality and a conscious sense of following the Spirit's leading to share God's word with people in everyday life.
Yeah. And no, the reason I brought that up is because I was convicted by it. It is easier to turn my speaker on and have it come back to me than it is to go out and tell people that, particularly when sometimes you've been told, here are the things you don't bring up in public or in polite conversation. You don't talk about religion and you don't talk about politics.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right, and right. I get that. I can even understand why that was articulated, but I'm glad someone chose to ignore that and share the gospel with me. I certainly needed somebody to ignore that advice because I was in dire need of someone to tell me the truth and give me some hope.
I hear you, Tom. Yeah. And that passage says, you know, in 1 Peter 3:15 and following, that we are to share the reason for our hope with gentleness and respect. You know, I'm afraid that a lot of times people in the world and Christians too have a negative characterization, or maybe I should say caricature, of evangelism, you know, rather than just a loving conversation with people you care about, you know, about the gospel. It's kind of often the knee-jerk reaction when thinking about evangelism is, you know, somebody yelling at somebody and threatening them with hellfire or something like that. But we'll talk more about evangelism in this series. Yeah. I'll look forward to it. Yeah.
Yes. So, Noel, if you could, at the start of the sermon series, emphasize one point or one concept that you would think would get everybody sort of together in the same place, aimed in the direction that you want the sermon series to go, what would that be?
I would say to look at ourselves as Christians as sent people, to look at ourselves as people who have been commissioned by the risen Christ to do something in the world, you know, sent to the world. You know, if you look at John's gospel, you say John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And you look back to the most famous verse, at least these days in John's gospel, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know. And so now God so loves the world that God has given the world the church. You know, again, we're not the Savior. We are representatives of the Savior. But we are what God is currently giving to the world as representatives, ambassadors of Christ, to use Paul's language. So if we see ourselves as sent people on a mission out in everyday life, hopefully that might get us off to a good start with this sermon series.
Awesome. All right, church, we're sent. Let's go do that and be good witnesses. So Noel, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. And church, we love you, and it was so good to see you again in church today, and we will see you again next week.
Thanks so much.